Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Gary Neron welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry, taking a book of the Bible verse by verse, teaching as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology, speaking the truth in love, and our purpose is to give the lamp and light to all. Yesterday in our study of Psalm 119, we were talking about the distress that comes from our failure to follow God and that we need to actually live as we know we should be living. Let's continue with that discussion today. Now, here's our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
As a pastor, I've been at deathbeds with people who had tears streaming down their eyes because they had turned their backs on God. And it had affected their children. Some thought, well, my child's going to end up in hell. I had one man say, I wish God would give me back my complete health for at least another year and that I could work with each of my sons and let them know of all the mistakes that I made and how wrong I was and get them on the road to Jesus Christ. Well, that man died and would never have that chance, and he had already had his chance. And that time was now past. Now I want you to listen, and I want you to hear me well, okay? And please, this is very important what I'm about to say. And if you have children, if you have teenagers, young adults, please hear me and hear me well. Satan has many happy young people, but most of his old people are angry, miserable, and distraught. Let me say that one more time in case you're writing this down. Satan has many happy young people, but most of his old people are angry, miserable, and distraught. It may be sins of apathy, pleasure that are taking you away from the work you once did. You were busy for the Lord. You were serving God. And indifference, apathy has set in. Or it may be a moral sin or some other type of sin in your life, and it's ongoing. And instead of confessing and forsaking it, it's brought on a life of defeat, and you've never made it right with God again. Many times, God must chasten or flog with the whip. But he's trying to bring you to a point of partaking in his holiness, that it might yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness. You see, my friend, God wants your life to be holy, and many of the disciplining things that happen in our life is to make us holy. Now, how is that good? Well, because in the Beatitudes, the Lord promised that you would be filled and be called the children of God when you hunger and thirst for righteousness. And that was looking particularly at eternal reward, not to say, well, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness now, you're going to be filled. You're going to have all these good things, all these material possessions. No, Jesus wasn't talking about that at all. He was talking about eternity. We need God's chastening hand. We need God's discipline for our good, just like our children need it as they are growing up. My friend, without the chastening of God, every Christian will be saved so as by fire. We need the chastening of God because it shows us his love. But now we go into verse 68 here of the 119th Psalm, and he says, Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. Now, because we know God is good, then saved people need him through our personal relationship with him to teach us his statutes. That's why we need a consecrated heart to Christ. Now, the statutes are rules or precepts which should be and must be strictly obeyed that are in his word. Have you ever considered that the man who trusted God to kill a giant, to slay a bear and a lion, and to write these many psalms, and he was also God's anointed, he also needed God to teach him and ask for that teaching? How much more then do we need? You see, God teaching us, and he can't teach us if we don't get in his word and meditate on it. But if we get in his word and meditate on it, he can teach us as long as we're willing to obey it. And that is the key to consecration. The afflictions that draw me back into fellowship with God are good. That is, they are favorable to me. They teach me what needs to be obeyed. Although I don't find the chastening of God to be joyous, they're needed. And in short, saved people need to know the commandments of God and do them. My friend, God does chasten his own. Sometimes people have things that'll go bad and go wrong. They'll say, oh, God is spanking me. And that's not necessarily so. Sometimes it's just God is setting you through a trial to strengthen your faith. But many times when we do wrong and we feel the chastening of God, we don't have to ask ourselves, I wonder what I did. We already know. God's been already convicting our hearts of it. And we know when that chastening starts, why it's coming. And that takes us to verse 69. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Now, saved people need to be aware of deceivers. They seem to be people of light, the deceivers, but their light is artificial. In 2 John 7 and in Titus chapter 1, verse 10, it lets us know that in these days that you and I live, there are many deceivers. There are proud people who feign to be brethren and have built a reputation, and they seek to associate with my testimony a lie. They gossip to others. Many times they will tell bald-faced lies. Or they cast doubt in the mind of others about your ethics or your moral. They forge a lie against you, as the psalmist says. Friend, I know what it is to have that. Down through the years, I've had different things happen and would say in the church, well, we need to get this, and have somebody say to others, why do you think the preacher think we need to get that? You know what? I think he has something else in mind. And they begin to cast doubt in a person's mind. Why do you think the preacher would do that? Why do you think that person would do this? You see, it just doesn't happen to preachers. It happens to you as well. If you'll walk with God, all those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And one of the things that Satan will use many times are those deceivers, those people who are supposed to be one of you, and they are not. They are just people filled with pride that have crept in unaware. And it's a hard thing. But David resolved to remain obedient to God's word with his whole heart. Now, again, we use the example. Saul's trying to kill him, but David's revenge is to not kill Saul because he is the Lord's anointed. Aren't we reminded of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, my friend, bringing our thoughts, every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. See, it's our thought life that makes us mad at others. It's our thought life that leads us to want to seek revenge. It's our thought life that leads us into all evil. It's interesting to me that we're told today that we need to hobnob with Sodom and get chummy with Gomorrah in order to convert them. The idea is from Karl Marx and communism that the end justifies the means, forgetting that the means determines the end. What you win them with is what you will win them to. And so often, this has happened in churches and much of the church today, where they have an itching ears religion that's anthropological, that is man-centered instead of theological, God-centered. And so as a result, you have those who are turning to the carnal weapons. They're using the flesh under the guise, well, this is how we're going to win them to Christ. Kind of like Aaron, because this is not a new thing. Aaron did this back in the Old Testament. He made the calf of gold, but he did it in Yahweh's name. You know, if as long as it's in the name of God, then it's a good thing. It's what Aaron is teaching. And of course, Moses doesn't intercede. Aaron and the whole tribe of Israel's dead. Praise the Lord that Moses interceded. But nonetheless, we do see that men as far back as the children of Israel tried to do God's work in the arm of the flesh, and God throughout the scriptures condemns that thing. It is a filthy thing to do as far as God is concerned. Now, there is a temptation as a Christian when you're trying to live holily and righteously to throw up your hands and say, well, what's the use? But then, when you get to that point, your eyes are on people. And as saved people, we need to be aware that there are deceivers. And if they weren't so slick, if they didn't look like they were true Christians, it wouldn't be very deceiving, would it? You see, our victory is in whole heart, meaning from the bottom of my heart, consecration unto God. There are rich blessings for those who seek Him with their whole heart. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address for the Lamp and Light broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And again, our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Gary Neron, saying, may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.
Stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands.